Hey there, thanks for stopping by and listening to episode 32 of the Maritime Outdoors podcast. I just wanted to insert a little note here that this episode was actually recorded in spring of last year, so in May of 2023, although I'm releasing this audio version right now, which is the end of March 2024. So I just wanted to clarify that. Sit back, relax, enjoy this episode with Matt Dort, and we'll see you at the end. Hey there, thanks for tuning in to another episode of the podcast. So today I'm connecting up and catching up with Matt Dort. Now, any of you here in the Maritimes who are on social media have likely seen some of Matt's amazing pictures of his incredible catches and adventures. So this is me catching up with Matt Dort. Enjoy, sit back. How you doing today, Matt?
I'm doing well, thanks. Thanks a lot.
Awesome.
How you doing?
I'm doing okay. I mean, we should be outside throwing a line today. I think you're working. I'm doing some work and doing some yard work. But so how are things up in? Are you in New Glasgow area or Antigonish?
Yeah, I'm still in Pictou County. I live in New Glasgow, and. Fishing wise, things have been slow. I found last few years, I don't know what may be contributing to it, but the spring season always seems to start a bit slower than usual. So we haven't had a lot of ice or snow this winter. And a lot of the trout that we target, at least I do, in the spring are trout that are running back into the estuary.
Right.
So there's a chance they might have left early with the lack of snow and ice that we had.
Interesting. Yeah, we didn't have a lot anywhere in the province this year, and with all the, I know I was up Pictou County way a couple times over the winter last fall, and since the hurricane went through, and it's just mind-boggling.
Yeah, it's been incredible.
Like anyone that I talk to who has not seen it, it's not even worth talking to them about it because you can't appreciate it until you drive through it, or I guess back roads must be just incredible.
Yeah, the any path or boat path that or ATV trail that existed where someone would drag a boat in requires a lot of work now to get in there if you can get in at all.
Yeah, just flat. I know you do a lot of drone work, I'll call it, but drone hobbying. Yeah. And we have one and we put it up. We were up in the Durham area in Pictou visiting a relative, and we put it up, and it was just like, it was like a giant had stomped all over everywhere. And hopefully with how dry it was this winter, that's not going to act like kindling for any kind of force. I mean, it will if there's there's a fire.
Yeah, it definitely presents a lot of new challenges for sure.
So we've never, I know back in the Fishing with Friends, Steve Clapperton days, I heard all about the Dort brothers I'm sure we probably crossed paths somewhere on a river, West River, Antigonish or something at some point, but, so that's where you guys born and raised or, you
know? Well, actually I'm from Guysborough County.
Oh, are you? Okay.
Yeah, we grew up in Country Harbor, which is just a small community of under 500 people.
Okay.
And for people that wouldn't know where that's at, the closest center that would have like gas, groceries, banking services would be Sherbrooke.
Okay.
Yeah, so about 15, 20 minutes from Sherbrooke.
Interesting. Yeah. So, and then you just made your way up to... New Glasgow.
I lived in Country Harbor for about 16 years.
Okay.
And then I went to St. Evex and lived in Antigonish for 10 years, although I didn't go to St. Evex for 10 years.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. All right, whatever it takes.
Right. Yeah. And then I moved to Pictou County in 2008. I took a job with Sobeys head office. So I was actually working prior to Sobeys with a Microsoft support center, and then later on took a job with Sobeys. So I've been here ever since 2008.
Okay, nice. Yeah. It's a beautiful part up there, God's country. I lived in right on the outskirts of the town of Pictou for a couple of years. I won't go into the long story why, but my in-laws lived there and at that time, and I absolutely loved the area.
Right.
Yeah.
I was going to say, I thought you lived in Pictou County at one point, so that's where it was. Yeah.
Yep, a couple of years, and I said, you know, while I'm here, I'm going to, you know, learn the rivers and learn how to, that was where I put the time into to learn the little bit I do know about fishing Atlantic salmon, and it was awesome. Yeah, absolutely great time.
Definitely, I always say Pictou, Anangonish, Guysborough counties are the spot you want to be for trout and salmon.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I'm down here on the South Shore. Just funny how things work. Again, we followed family due to work situations. End up following family down here because we had a couple children and wanted to be close by. And I mean, there's still decent trout, not salmon. There's still decent trout opportunities around here. But I mean, yeah. And most people who are probably listening or watching this know that the whole southern uplands is, I mean, you know, I've heard positive things that maybe the numbers are starting to come back a little bit in certain places, but I don't know if that's just
right
coincidental or what it is. But and the anglers just aren't out there because you're not allowed, so
right.
You know, I fish pretty much everything. So I, you know, I'll go for bass, I'll go for pickerel, I'll keep a few pickerel or whatever, and mackerel and whatever swimming by, you know, I'll go after. So how did you, I assume you and your brother probably together got into, are you guys hunters as well, or are you?
We are waterfowl hunters and small game hunters.
Yep.
And we definitely share, my twin brother and I definitely share the same passion for fishing and hunting.
Mm-hmm.
And we basically started fishing back when we were about 4 years old. And my grandfather had a camp on a lake called Stewart's Lake.
Okay.
It was in Guysborough County. And if you're familiar with the ferry that goes across from Country Harbor to Port Beckerton, it was just up on the hill past the ferry.
Okay.
And we would go at the age of four, he would take us into the camp. The two of us, and we were a handful, and we would spend the weekend at the camp with him, and we would fish for brook trout in the lake. And on the way into the lake, there was a big brook that ran out of the lake, and we would stop, and I can still remember using alders that he would cut off.
Awesome.
With a piece of mono line and a spinner or a one-way hook or a fly. And we would get brook trout right off the brook with the alder, and then we'd stash the alder at the end of the trip or at the end of the time that we were there and pick it up the next time and use it.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I mean, that makes sense why you guys are so so into it and passionate about it now. Yeah. So are you guys primarily, like, if you guys have a chance to go fishing, I mean, from what I know, I mean, if the salmon are around or salmon season, that's what you're going to do. But so you've got a wide variety of different seasons and species up that way. I remember I fished rainbow trout in the South River estuary. That was fun. I've had my hands down my best Atlantic salmon day on the West River Anangonish, and and of course, the striped bass fishery. So we'll have to talk about all those things. But like, if you're just gonna go, you just, you know, whatever's in season and is what you're going after.
Typically, I'm very fortunate to be surrounded by good trout and salmon rivers, and so those are the two main species that I target. And I mainly target brook trout and Atlantic salmon, which is two native species that I'm very interested in.
Mm-hmm.
And but like you said, the province stocks some rivers and lakes with rainbow trout, so you'll get rainbow trout in the South River.
Mm-hmm.
But it's brook trout and Atlantic salmon that I love to target. And probably within the last, I want to say 5 years, or whenever the regulations opened up for striped bass, I target those a lot now as well, from the beach with the children, or we'll go out in the boat and we'll fish for them. So it's a great fishery to have, and it's another native species that's very abundant around our rivers and shores now.
Absolutely, yeah. They're, I think sometimes people forget that they are a native species. I know there's some issues, you know, ongoing or at this time, where the salmon are struggling, you know, in comparison. So yeah, I'm not totally sure what to make of all that yet, but I know that the striper numbers have flourished in recent years. I know when I was living in Pictou, you know, there were a few little places you could find them, but they were nothing. You know, this was 20, 25 years ago.
Yes.
So they've definitely made a rebound, and so yeah, I mean they're a fun fish to catch. I don't keep a lot of anything that I catch myself, but so are you guys? And I've seen some of your. I should say anyone who's familiar with your name at all has probably seen some of your photos and drone photos on Facebook or Instagram. They're fantastic.
Thank you. Thank you.
And you, have you been up to the, you've been up to the Shubenacadie this year or?
Yeah. So, outside of Pictou, Angus and Gospel County, I'll fish a bit for trout in Cape Breton, and I'll fish, for salmon in Cape Breton when the season's open. But I also target striped bass in the, Bay of Fundy or Inner Bay of Fundy rivers. And mainly the Shubenacadie and the Stewiac.
Yeah.
So I've definitely fished for them already in the Shubenacadie as they're exiting out of Grand Lake and into the tidal part of the river. And then I'll probably target them a bit once they enter the Stewiac as well. As you know, it's a world-class fishery and a world-class species that I don't think we give enough credit to.
And
if people from away were to experience that, they would be shocked how good it is.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I know as much fun as it is to see that some of the photos, I almost tune it out in the last few weeks because there's a lot of catch and keep going on. I don't know, you know, if rules are being broken, and I'm sure there are here and there, but a lot of mud striper pictures that I'm seeing. It's kind of tricky, I guess, because of the environment there. I mean, it's dangerous.
Yes.
You know, if you're standing on that, I've fished similar places, you know, down in the Bay of Fundy and other rivers, and it can be very dangerous, especially with the tide, how fast it comes. So I know there's some issues there, and I'm hoping that the fishery isn't being abused. I mean, I haven't spent enough time there to see if it is or not. But from what you've seen, is it pretty decent?
So we're always going to have a few bad apples in any of the fisheries or communities that we like to work and play. With the striped bass, I'd say majority of the people are doing the proper thing. And if they're keeping a fish, it's within the regulations. And if they're releasing a fish, they're trying to handle it properly.
Right.
What I have seen more so in the last few years is people using long-handled telescopic dip nets, which is a big advantage when you're landing a fish in the Stewiac or the Shubenacadie. And people have been using circle hooks when they're fishing baits. So if a fish is not at the slot limit or at the size limit, they can be released.
Yeah, just pop it out.
Yeah, and the other thing I encourage people to do is wear an old pair of chest waders, because that way you can get out with a wading stick or a ski pole or anything to assist you and help land that fish easier. It's easier on you and it's easier on the fish.
Right.
And so where you're only allowed to keep one, I think you're only allowed to be in possession of one per day, and then even if that's in your freezer, you cannot keep another one. So it's important that catch and release techniques are put in place to ensure that fisheries stay stable.
It is no question, it's a world-class fishery, and I've had excellent fishing on Grand Lake itself for striped bass at various times of the year too, and it's awesome. What about the brown trout? I mean, brown and rainbows aren't native, you know, to the province. Are they both doing, I mean, the rainbows are stocked, right? The rainbows yes. are all stocked. There's no reproduction
right.
of the rainbows. Browns, though, we do have some really good brown fisheries up your way. And is that steady, like consistent?
Yeah, I would say almost every river along the Northumberland Strait
mm-hmm.
has a very healthy population of sea-run brown trout. They become, like you said, they were initially introduced to our province many decades ago. Mm-hmm. And there's actually, I found out recently that there's various strains of brown trout that were stocked.
Oh, okay.
There's a gentleman I was speaking to, Dr. Samuel Adams, I believe his name was Adams, and he was indicating the different strains that were stocked throughout the province.
Mm.
Anytime we introduce a new species, it always has some impact or footprint. But based on my observations, some of our best brook trout rivers are also some of our best brown trout rivers, and the population of the brook trout, from my experience initial, like 30 years ago, it hasn't changed.
Mm-hmm.
So they've become naturalized, and they've proven that they can coexist. So that's important when we're talking about invasive species, because
mm-hmm.
if new species get introduced, can they coexist based on the habitat that they're in? And
right.
for the most part, the brown trout were doing that and are doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And they do reproduce.
Oh, yeah.
But the rainbow trout are not reproducing in our province, except for a few exceptions in Cape Breton.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so a lot of the ones that are stocked are not able to reproduce.
Mm.
But from a natural standpoint, there's some that have naturalized in Middle River and Bedeck River in Cape Breton.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So the browns don't really pose a threat to the Atlantic salmon that we do have.
I'm sure you'll find a brown trout down the road yeah. at some point that has spits out a small yeah. salmon or a small brook trout or a smelt.
Mm-hmm.
So they're carnivores, so they eat anything yeah. that is alive and moves. So it does mm-hmm. have probably an impact, mm-hmm. but I definitely feel that they have naturalized to the environment and doesn't play a big footprint as, a chain pickerel would
right.
in those waters.
Oh, absolutely. You know? Yeah. Yeah, and you can target the browns at night in certain places.
Yeah, in Nova Scotia, we do have a few rivers that are open 24 hours. One mm-hmm. of them is the Upper Stewiacke River. After, I believe, May 15th, you can fish 24 hours after or for brown trout.
Mm.
And there's a section, I believe, on the River John that is open as well. And I think even the Cornwallis. I fish a lot of brown trout around dusk and daylight. So I've never fished overnight for brown trout.
Right.
I don't feel the need or the necessity yeah. to do so. Yeah. The smart ones or the big ones don't feed a lot during the day. So the moment we get some dusk or that low light conditions mm-hmm. or the first hour after sunset,
mm-hmm.
that is when I find it's the most productive time for brown trout.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And
we can legally target them or any sport fish fares that goes 2 hours after sunset and 2 hours right. before sunrise.
Right. Yeah. So you're covered there.
Yeah. So if it was sunsets at 10:30 at night in June, you can fish to 12:30 at night.
Yeah.
Just this 2 hour window.
Right.
So those are the most productive times.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Any favorite flies for the listeners? Not your best, obviously.
No, there's no secret. There's no secrets to brown trout. The only yeah. secret to catching a brown trout is be there at the right time.
Right.
Yeah. Honestly, they like to feed aggressively when in low light conditions.
Mm.
So if it's a rainy, muddy day, it's the best brown trout fishing.
Oh yeah.
If it's a dark, cloudy day, it's the best brown trout fishing. And then in the low light conditions, I always use my fly rod, so I'll use a pattern called a Zoo Cougar.
Okay.
And it's a pattern that creates a wake on the surface, but part of the body is still submerged.
Nice.
It's a variation of a muddler type fly.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, and I use a big stone fly, a number two stone fly, and I'll often use a dry mouse pattern on the surface.
Yeah, I've heard the mice patterns work really well.
Yeah, they work, on a windy night, when it's not calm. You can hear, I've been in spots where I hear the mice dropping in the river, running and falling in. So it's a main food source for sure.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, I've caught various species of mice patterns, but I can't say I've ever heard or seen them actually falling in the river, but that.
Yes. I've spent enough time to witness a lot of very unique things that I normally wouldn't if I wasn't fishing in that 2 hours after sunset.
That's awesome. Yeah. I used to fish a lot of striped bass all night at dusk and early in the morning, but also all through the night down the other parts of the Bay of Fundy. And I've seen some neat things through the night, but never mice falling in the river. But I'll have to keep my eye out sometime. I'm up Pictou Anigan-Ishway.
You'll definitely experience it if there's any amount of tall grass.
Huh.
Yeah.
Fascinating.
Yeah.
Fascinating. So the fall salmon run, the last couple of years, right now when we're doing this is 2023. The last few years, has it been okay or?
Yeah, it's a great question. And a lot of people would say that last year, 2023, was probably the best record or the best year on record for a lot of people personally when it came to the number of fish they either saw or caught or hooked.
Okay.
And I know it was my best year as well as my twin brothers. Mm. And we've been fishing salmon for
a long time.
20 some years or more. Mm. And it by far exceeded the numbers more than I've ever compared. And I keep a journal. And so I have somewhat accurate records of what the previous seasons were like. And last year didn't even come close to any of the other years I've ever had. It was so good.
That's awesome to hear. I can't remember, it wasn't that long ago, but do we have exceptional rain? Or
So Fiona set the table.
Mm-hmm.
It caused a lot of damage, but it also brought a lot of water.
Yeah.
So right out of the gate, I think my first salmon last fall when I started fall salmon fishing was September 30th on the West River Anigan-Ish.
Mm.
And I had many days where I hooked the limit and had to stop fishing within the first 2 hours of the day.
Wow.
So it was a good season on Pictou County and the Anigan-Ish rivers for sure. And even after the season closed, small brooks like Brook, where I'd walk up to the different pools after the season just to check to see how the river was holding and how it was. Right. And I would count 20 salmon in a pool in the Brook.
Mm, I might have to beep the name of that brook out.
That's located in New Brunswick.
I didn't see a lot of people talk. Of course, people are not talking about it a lot when it's happening. They'll talk about it when the season's closed, which makes sense. You know, you want to keep the pressure on the river down a little bit, but that's cool. I might have to really make an effort to get up this year if we get the same kind of rain.
Yes. The rain was the biggest difference between other years and this year. We got rain early as opposed to mid to late October. The rain started in September.
Right. And I have heard on some of the rivers up there that it's kind of an early fall run sometimes, right? Like they're, you know, right at the beginning of the fall season, they're there waiting for the water. Right?
Yeah, I spend a lot of time around the estuaries, you can see the fish showing and staging and jumping in the Pictou Harbor, in the Anigan-Ish Harbor, well, in early September, late August.
Yeah.
Yeah, and even after the season closed, salmon were still coming into the Pictou Harbor and the East River and Anigan-Ish Harbor. They're still coming on the last day of the season. I could see them still jumping in the tidal water and
awesome.
Yeah, so they were still coming well after the closure, and that was a good sign as well.
Yeah, that is excellent to hear. Excellent to hear. Well, I'll try and keep these things relatively short and to the point. That was awesome. Good, great chatting with you, Matt. I do hope to get up that way through the summer or the fall or something. It's just a little, like when I lived in Halifax, it was no big deal to just skip up to Pictou County.
Right.
But add that extra hour down here and it's a big deal.
For sure.
Yeah. Anytime you're down this way, definitely let me know.
Yeah, and absolutely. And the same goes for you. If you were down this way or want to come down this way, I'd be more than willing to point you in the right direction or even join you to fish someday.
Excellent. And are you guys licensed guides, you and your brother?
I am a licensed guide.
Yeah.
And my brother's not at presently, but he may be down the road. But yeah, I like to guide. And right now my guiding structure is a bit different than most.
Mm-hmm.
I have a full-time job, so guiding is just a hobby where I get to meet some very great people.
Mm-hmm.
So right now I donate a few trips every year to fundraisers or charities.
Mm-hmm.
And those are, I get the winners from those charities or fundraisers for my clients. And that's how I give back to my community that way.
Yeah.
I'm still doing something that I love doing. So it works out that way.
Good excuse to get out on the water, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Excellent. Excellent. Well, I'll include some info and some links. People can, you know, find you on Facebook and Instagram. And if you have any pictures of these secret flies,
all right,
I feel free to shoot along. I'll put it in the show notes. And anyway, awesome taking the time to chat today, Matt. And I'll let you know when this is up and we can start sharing it.
All right. Thank you, David. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Matt.
All right. Have a good day.
Talk soon. You too.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
So that was great catching up with Matt Dort. I hope to connect with him later this season, maybe wet a line together. If I do, I'll be sure to record that and bring it to you as well. Thanks again, Matt, for taking the time out to do that. And if you want to catch the show notes, go to maritimeoutdoorsman.com/032. That does it for today. Tight lines, and we'll see you on the next one.